rather than dispersed. There are seats on all the front tables, if you don't mind coming. Before you put any more seats out, let's fill up the ones that we've already got. Thanks to the guys in the band for leading us into that lovely place where his presence is really tangible. I'm going to share with you the notices. They're going to come up on the screen behind me. And there's not going to be a prayer slot this morning, so we're going to do the notices, and then we're going to move on, and we're going to start to hear some of the stuff around about the vision stuff for this weekend. So, first of the notices that's up, bake sale for camp every second Sunday of the month, so that will be, by my reckoning, next Sunday morning. So come ready to buy baking for camp next Sunday. And if you want to donate, then Jill McPherson or Alison Lockhart are the people to speak to. Jill is up the back with the kids there, and Alison is over there. If you want to donate or want to ask any questions about that, then they're the people to speak to. Also, on the subject of camp, there are Camp Cayley tickets. Thank you. That's a very pitiful woe, but never mind. Obviously, the noisy people aren't here this morning. There we go. Camp Cayley is on the 17th of February. The tickets are actually selling really fast. So, Karen is woohooing in the side here. She has tickets, or do you have tickets this morning? Yes, you do actually have the tickets this morning. She will be delighted to sell you a ticket this morning if you want to come and buy a ticket. If, for those of you who don't know, each year we take kids away to camp. We take them away for a week. We're going to Lendrickmuir this year, which is up at Kinross. We take between anything between, depending on the size of the camp space that we've got, we take anything between kind of 35 and 55 kids away. And a lot of the kids are from the community here, and we subsidise them in terms of being able to go, because it's quite costly for them to be able to go. So we subsidise that. And to do that, we have to raise money. And all of these things, the bake sale, the Cayley, and everything else that we do round about that is to supplement those kids going and encourage them to go. So Camp Cayley and the Camp Baking Sunday next Sunday. Okay, next one. So, this is not what's happening next Sunday. I'll tell you what is happening next Sunday. So, next Sunday should be the Welcome to Church lunch. And that's what we normally do on the second Sunday of the month. But we're going to change it slightly this month. I would like to do a how do we welcome people to church lunch next Sunday. So, if you're part of our host team or our welcome team, or if you are really interested in how we welcome people to church on a Sunday morning, how we do that and how we could do it better, then I would like to invite you to come to lunch next Sunday. So if you'd like to come and do that, we need to know roughly how many people are going to come to that so that we can provide the... What was that? What? Oh, it's changed already. There we go. Excellent. It's amazing when a plan comes together. Look at that. It must be God. So next Sunday, it would be really good to know how many people are coming so that we can order the right number of sandwiches and soups and all the rest of it. If you can let Jackie know, Jackie's nodding. If you can let Jackie know this morning that you're going to come to that, then that would be really helpful. Even if you don't serve on our host or our welcome teams, if you're thinking, actually, I have a really good idea and I don't know who to tell about my good idea about how you welcome people, or if you're really new in church and you're thinking, you know, see if they did that, I would feel an awful lot better about being here, then that's a good place for you to come and to share that information. We really want to do this well. We are preparing for the fact that we're expecting that there's going to be a lot of new people coming into church, and we actually want to be able to do this well. So when you've been in church for a while, you get used to the way of doing things, and sometimes you're not able to think out of the box particularly well. So I need some help in terms of, well, what does it look like? Where have you seen things in other places that maybe they do better than we do here? Or what good ideas have you got? I'd love to hear that next week. Can we have more bouncy castles? There we go. That's the way to do that. That will cater for us. That will cater for a section of the public. Yes, absolutely. Okay, let's fire on. Before I have no voice altogether. Translating God, which is the course that the folks in the prophetic community are running, the Sean Bolts course, is going to start up again on the 17th of January from 7 until 9 in Barclay Curl House. If you want more information, you need to contact Kathy or Iris, and Kathy and Iris are both sitting down at the front here. If they want to stick their hand in the air, then people will see folks at the back. So they're right at this table down here. If you want more information, they're the people to speak to. On a similar subject, next one. On Saturday the 20th of January from 10 until 4, it's our annual prophetic training here. Steve and Angela Bowler are really good friends of the church here, and they carry a huge gift in terms of the prophetic. And we have them often, but we have a specific time annually that we invite them to come to do a bit of an update for folks, just to encourage people in terms of ministering in the prophetic. We would strongly encourage, we would really like to do a bit of a three-line whip. If you're involved in the prophetic in any way, we actually expect you to be at that day. It is an annual thing. We only ask you to come once a year to do it. It gets us in the room together to review our practice and to actually remind ourselves of what the practice for the prophetic is in White Inch Church. We recognise that in White Inch we have lots of people who practice in the prophetic and work in the prophetic in lots of places, and everybody works in a slightly different way. We want to be very careful that we communicate very clearly what our policies and procedures and our practices are here, and we would love you to be able to be there. We do again need to know who's coming to that, because we realise that it's only a couple of weeks away and folks might already be booked up, so it might not be the best date for people to come. But if you are going to come to that, we need to know so that we know that we can schedule it for that day. If we've only got three people who are able to come on the 20th, then we're going to reschedule it, because actually it is really important and we really need folks to buy into it. So again, if you're able to come to that, can you let Jackie know, please? Jackie is keeping lists of people, and they're all, and because it's Jackie, they will all be on the right list. If it was coming to me, they would be all over the place and we wouldn't know who was coming anywhere. But Jackie will keep the right list for that. Next one, Food Bank Sunday. So Sunday the 21st of January, which is the week after, or the same weekend as the prophetic training, but 2 weeks' time. Part of your offering on Food Bank Sunday, we ask that you would bring an offering of non-perishable goods that could go to the food bank. So tins of soup, meals, pies, puddings, fruit, or treats for food bank clients. So on that Sunday, is that going to be the same Sunday each month? Maybe? Okay. Yes? Yeah, okay. So one Sunday a month we're going to try and set aside for offerings to come. I was just checking to see whether it was going to be the third Sunday of the month. Keep watching, but it will be the 21st this month. And the last one is the Winter Night Shelter. So the City Mission hosts a winter night shelter for guys and ladies who are sleeping on the streets. If you saw what it was like this morning, I had to scrape my car this morning when I came out. That cannot be nice at any time of year to be on the streets in that. It must be absolutely freezing. So they run a night shelter all the way through till March, over the winter time, over the worst of the weather. Churches are encouraged to take a week of that and help to staff it. So our week is the 4th to the 10th of February. If you're around, it would be really, really good if you were able to volunteer to do that. There are folks around, so is Alan here? No, so Alan McCruden is one person. Jackie has the list. Ian was talking to me about the night shelter this week, so Ian's there. If you have questions about the night shelter, then Ian's probably a good guy to speak to about that. So if you want to ask what that entails and if it's actually feasible for you to do it, or if you just want some more information, if you ask him, then he'll provide you with some more information. But it would be really good to be able to do that. It's good to be able to bless our community. It's not all about us. It's actually about how we serve our community and what we do with that. I want to take just 2 seconds just now before I invite Alan up to talk in terms of a Vision Sunday. I want to take 2 seconds to pray for the night shelter. Just now again, and to pray for the staff, because I know the conversation Ian and I were having this week, they are strapped for staff. So let me pray for the night shelter. So Father, we thank you for the folks at the City Mission who are giving up so much in order to bless the guys on the streets. Father, I pray for every person who will be in danger of having to sleep on the streets tonight. Father, I pray that you would draw close to them. I pray for our society. And for change to happen at a society level, a government level, a city council level, it would mean that we don't have guys and women who have to sleep on the streets. And Father, I pray that you would raise up the army of people that you need to staff the night shelter. You'd bring the right people, and that in bringing them you would bless them, that it wouldn't simply be about them pouring out, but they would know that you're pouring in as well. I thank you for the folks who are already committed to that, and I pray that you would increase and multiply so that there are enough team. In Jesus' name, amen. Can I pray for you? I'm going to pray for Alan just before he speaks. So, Father, thank you for the vision that you have downloaded here. Father, I pray that you would come and that you would speak through Alan this morning. I pray, Father, that there would be clarity, that the vision would be yours, that we would hear your heart in this, and that we would know that you're at work and that you're moving forward. Father, will you bless him as he speaks this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Well, good morning, everyone. Good. Oh, look at that. It's actually working. I'm hoping that my clicker might work. No. Go on, you can do it. No. Okay. Diane, it's me and you today. You just have to press buttons. Okay, that's fine. Once a year, we try to take some time just to think about where we are as a church and think about what we're trying to do. And in particular, at the beginning of the year, we kind of have Vision Sunday, which essentially is the opportunity to talk about, I suppose, a wee bit of review, where we've been, but also then to think about what God's calling us to and where he's calling us to be. And these two verses in particular are the kind of the two verses that we take time to think about, as we do that. So the first one is from Proverbs 29, verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. And then from Habakkuk 2, to write down the vision and make it plain that they may run with it. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to just be clear. We're trying to kind of sort of say, you know, here are the things that we believe that God's actually sort of said to us. Here are the things we want to do. Here's what we want to focus on in the next wee while. And as we do that, what we want to do is we want to take time to reflect. We want to think about what God has already done. We want to cast some vision. We want to talk a bit about what we think. But also in the midst of that, and this is the reason why we're around tables today, we actually want to listen. We want to hear from you, because we need to discern together what is it that God is saying to us. As a team, we've taken time to think about this and talked about it and shared a wee bit about our thoughts and our prayers and what we sense God is sort of saying. But we want, in the midst of that, to kind of get some feedback. We want to understand what it is that you think is important and to get some understanding for you. Okay, next slide. So the first thing that we want to recognize is this, that we are a small church with a very big mission and a very big vision in some ways. I think that one of the things that people kind of are aware of is the fact that actually we very regularly, as a church, punch above our weight, you know, so we actually have significant influence beyond what actually happens here in White Inch. And that's because of the fact that what we're seeing is we're actually sort of seeing people coming regularly to ask questions about what we do. So this week there's a group of folks who are studying for their masters in urban ministry, and they're going to come and they're going to ask, what are you guys doing in White Inch and why are you doing that? There are going to be people who are going to be, I'm going to go and speak to the probationers, the Church of Scotland probationers this week, again, sharing some of the things that we're doing here and why we're doing them and how we're doing them. I've spoken to the folks who are in the sort of second to fifth year of their ministry in the Church of Scotland. I've been involved in consultations on your behalf, I suppose, you know, representing the church here, going to talk to not just the Church of Scotland, but the Nazarene Church, the United Free Church, folks who are involved in the I'm going to a meeting with the Baptist Union executive team this week. All of this representing us and sort of saying, not because of the fact that in one sense, you know, we want to sort of say, well, look at us, but because people are asking, what are you doing and why are you doing it this way? And what is it that we can learn and what is it that we can apply from what you're doing into other contexts as well? And so we believe very much that, you know, we are longing for and positioning ourselves and wanting to position ourselves as a church for revival. We believe that God is going to come and move in a mighty power in Scotland, and we want to be ready for that. And so we want to position ourselves in terms of how we posture ourselves, how we view our community, how we engage within our community. We want to be deeply, deeply committed to the local. You know, and that's one of the things that God spoke to us a long time ago. He said, you know, if you will dig the dig deep locally, I will give you breadth and width nationally. You know, so actually, we're very committed to ministry to the local community. We're committed to being here as part of the local community. We're committed to Food Bank and CAP and all these other things which are expressions of our love for the folks locally. And we want to do more of that. We want to think about how we can actually continue to do that. But we also recognize that there is a generosity of kingdom thinking that we need to have, which is not just we are a congregation and we just do whatever we want for our benefit. We recognize that actually we're called to be people who are about the work of the kingdom of God. And the attitude of heart that he gives us in doing that is one of generosity. Freely we have received, and so freely we give. And so all of the good things that God has given to us, we know that they're not ours. We know that they're for others to receive. They're for others to get. And that's why, you know, we want to commit ourselves to becoming increasingly a resource church, a church which actually is a church, yes, for the local, but then recognizing that it has an impact much further beyond into the wider world. And so we want to become the urban monastery. And we've had that as our kind of way of expressing what a resource church should look like or what it should have. All of that is back to and ties into the Celtic monastic tradition, where we would have at the very center of everything the house of prayer and worship, that central focus of Jesus, worshiping him, connecting with him. Nothing makes any sense if it does not flow from a relationship with Jesus. Everything comes from that. Everything is about that, and everything goes back into that. And so we want to kind of put that at the center of what we do and at the pinnacle of what we're about. But from that will flow other things. We've talked about, again, these different things of a center of creativity where we think about what it looks like for us to express the fullness of God's resources in different ways. We want to impact every area of culture and society. We don't just want to be in the church sphere. We want to think about education, and we want to think about health. We want to think about politics. We want to think about all the other aspects of our culture. And we want to kind of help people to engage with that. We want to look at places where we can actually push out in terms of mission. And so, again, we've done all sorts of different things, but our intention is really to kind of keep focused on, you know, it is not just for us and for us here, but it's actually about pushing out of the way. It's about being a community of healing and of renewal. The monastic places, the gathering places of the Celtic saints, were places of wonderful hospitality, of real renewal, where people gathered together, where they came home for the festivals and for training and for equipping and for times where actually God was going to use them to help, to just refresh them, to send them back out again. And also a place of learning and equipping, a place where school and training and enabling of the whole of the body of Christ was part of what they did. And so we've had that as our kind of vision, but we specifically have actually worked that out, and these are some of the ways that we've done that. Next slide, Dan. Yep, there we go. Great. So we've got, in terms of the kind of creative stuff, we've got the creative core that are kind of pushing out and thinking about how to actually express that. In terms of the house of prayer and worship, you've got the 24/7 prayer. We've got the stuff that happens on Thursday nights, stuff that happens on Tuesday mornings, and also the work that happens in terms of the prophetic community, helping people to connect with God. In terms of the mission base, the local stuff, Food Bank and CAP, Source and the Source Fairs, and the work that we're doing in Rocchese. We've got Encounter and CAMP that we've already talked about today. We've got Life to the Full, working with the Recovery Centre and the Recovery Community, and the gaming community as well. All sorts of different ways in which we have pushed out. In terms of the whole thing of a community of healing and renewal, we have an incredible kind of center of healing and renewal through the Sorsha Ministry, Kala, and Kairos Counseling that we provide. And it's really exciting that in the last kind of few months, what's happened is that there's additional funding being found from within the recovery community to be able to have access to our Kairos Counseling. And so lots of people who are kind of involved in all sorts of difficult things that have gone through in the recovery community are now able to access our services by doing that. We have a place of training and equipping. And to be honest with you, that picks up on almost all of the threads, the other threads as well. So we have the prophetic training that we've already talked about, both the Sean Bolts thing, but also the kind of the year, the yearly kind of renewal But we're planning to do more training, isn't it? I think in April, May, June. So in April, May, June, the bowlers are going to come back and do a more intensive training as well. We've done source training and ministry training as well. Again, not just simply in our context, but in other places as well. We do the Forge training, which is about church planting and helping people to do missional practice. And again, we've sort of seen that. And then the Limitless Creativity course as well. So in each of the areas that we're involved with, we're not just simply doing these things, but we're actually having an influence beyond ourselves as we begin to kind of offer these things out in training. So, what is the... Okay, Diane. So, I saw this sign. I don't know if anyone kind of picked up on this story. Did anyone see this story this year? This is a local convenience store called who renamed themselves Morrisings because they had previously been called Sainsbury's, but Sainsbury's didn't like that, so they had to change. So they've changed their name to Morrisings. Anyway, the thing that kind of the reason I picked that out was it's a local store, and in one sense, that has been what we've been like for a long time. You know, we've been a local church and a local community focused on White Inch. But actually, as we move increasingly towards becoming a resource church, what's actually happened is that we have changed from being the sort of Morrisings to more like a Morrisons. You know, so we've actually kind of, we've deliberately and intentionally changed the feel and the focus of what we've done so that we are no longer a local kind of corner shop that kind of just does the kind of local thing. But actually, increasingly, we're trying to be someone, folks who are focused on the wider work, the kind of the greater work of actually training and equipping other people. And there's a number of advantages in that. So the first advantage is this, that actually we have greater kind of impact because we actually train not just ourselves, but we're actually impacting all sorts of other people who come along to the training that we do, both here and indeed in Glasgow and beyond. And we're seeing that kind of, as I say, through things like these students coming to visit and going and speaking at the probationers and doing different conferences and actually just the ways in which we're doing training. What's happening is we're effectively upskilling and upscaling what we do to offer it out as much as we can. And what that's now beginning to have an impact on is not just simply on individuals but who go back to their own churches, but it's beginning to kind of have an impact upon denominational structures. And so there have been a number of conversations that we've been involved with, and in particular that I've been involved with in the last few months, which are about sort of saying to folks within the national structures, okay, what are the things that we could offer that we're actually doing that you could actually, that we could give to you, that we could offer to you, that we could provide for you? And actually that's been that's a huge privilege for us and a great opportunity for us. But it comes with a downside, okay? So moving from being like a local corner store to a superstore, a local church to a resource church has its upsides, but it also has its downsides. And I think that one of the things that we've recognized this year is that actually as we have seen people coming into the church, and we have seen lots of people coming into the church, the reality is that we're actually struggling. We're struggling with... It's the bit where he just draws in the breath and holds it. You know there's more coming. Anyway, there's the issue really of integrating people, isn't it? So we've seen people coming in, but actually it's becoming harder to integrate. It's becoming harder to get to know people. It's becoming harder to kind of land, to feel as though you belong. And those who have been here for a long time, for those who are new, it can feel like that. And so you kind of go, well, how do I connect with this place? And who do I connect with? And we're going to talk a wee bit more about what we're doing about that in a minute. But we recognize that that's a cost that we've had to pay. And for those in particular who have been around the church for a while, what we recognize is this, that actually the kind of the thing of everybody knows everybody, the family church feel actually is lost, to a certain extent as a result of that. So you can't quite get as much easy access to everybody else. You can't quite get to kind of know everything that's going on or be involved in everything that's going on. And for those of us who have been here from a very long time, from the start, that's actually a sacrifice that we've had to make that happen. But we need to be able to address some of that. We need to be able to address some of the issues around helping us as a church to feel as though we actually cohere together, that we belong together, that we actually, that we can find places, even within a growing church, where we feel as though we belong and we're known and we're loved. And actually, we want to think about that and work on that. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But beyond that, we also recognize that there's another issue, which is we've actually seen a significant number of people coming to faith in the last 3 years. The last time we counted, I've been kind of keeping a track of this over the last 3 years, we've actually seen 93 first-time conversions, professions of faith, some of which are here, some of us are here, but many of aren't. And we've recognized that not only is it an issue to do with integration into the church, but there's also an issue to do with discipleship. Actually teaching people how to become disciples of Jesus in the way that we are disciples of Jesus. And we need to work on that. We need to think about that. And that, again, is something which has become very obvious as we've increased in size. And as we move forward, we will increase in size again. We anticipate that this year will again be a year of growth. And again, for a whole variety of different reasons. So there are a number of things which are very positive about the fact that actually we've moved from Morrisings to being Morrisons. You know, we've moved from that kind of local focus, small church, local congregational kind of thing to being one which is actually focused on the resourcing side of things. Right, next, Dan. But we also recognize that actually there's more to it than that. That actually we're not just kind of like talking about becoming bigger. We're actually talking about becoming more like a network of churches as well. And so we're beginning to actually sort of see that happening. We've already taken the first step in that in terms of Rockaise. And that's great. That's a great opportunity. But actually what that does, again, the great opportunity there is that we're actually going to go to a community that has absolutely no churches in it at all. Like there's no other Christian witness in that community at all. Other than obviously Global Salvation Ministries that we visited, which is focused on the Nigerian community. But not the Nigerian community, the Ghanaian community, thank you. But in terms of actually reaching the local folks, there's nobody else around doing that. That's not the focus. In fact, all of the churches that were there have actually have withdrawn rather than sort of pressing in. And so there's a community of several thousand people who at the moment have no witness amongst them. And we believe that God is actually already at work amongst them, preparing their hearts to come to know him and to love him and to become part of that new worshiping community. And so what we will do is we'll sort of see ourselves multiplying out. And our hope is not just simply that Rockaise will be that it will just be Rockaise, but actually over the years it will be a number of different plants that we're going to be involved in doing. There's so much that's good about that, but again, there are tensions that produces. So the tensions that produces is that it actually kind of, it really stretches us in terms of our resources, in terms of our capacity, in terms of our buildings, in terms of how we actually function. We're finding that actually it's not easy for us to actually be able to function and to know how to function in two different places. And then we sort of think, well, what will it be like if we function in three different places or four different places or five different places? And as we begin to think that, we begin to realize, actually, we really need to think about how we structure ourselves as a charity, as an organization. We need to think about these things and work these things through. And so that is why, as we begin this Vision Sunday, we want to talk about people and about how they're going to be involved in consolidating and developing what we do. I'm going to hand over to Shona now, who I hope is going to come and introduce some people to you and explain what they're doing.
Thank you. There are some lovely mugshots up here of various people, key people who are going to be around White Inch. But actually, I think on behalf of the leadership team, what we want to say to everybody who's here and, you know, who serves and who pours out week on week, we want to thank you as well, because it is a church full of people, and we can't do anything in this church without the people that we have. So it's not just the kind of staff members, but also it's our congregation, our church family as well, who make quite into what it is, which is, as Alan has said, has got this huge vision as we move forwards. So what I'm going to do is just invite kind of these folk up one at a time, and I'm really going to pass over to them and get them to share a little bit about who they are and what their role's going to be in White Inch over the next while. So I'm going to ask Patrick to come up first. And many of you know Patrick already. He's been around a little while, so I'm just going to ask him basically what he's doing here. What is his role in White Inch, and what are you going to be doing over the next while?
Yeah, so first I just want to say that picture is copyrighted. I don't know. Should not be shown publicly. But I'm Patrick. I've been here for about a year now with my wife, Erin, our daughter, McKinley. We got another little girl on the way. And we're really excited to be here with you guys. We're here with a Baptist organization, but we're working with Church of Scotland, particularly White Inch, which is not like most Church of Scotland's, as we've discovered, but we've been really excited to be here. And one of the things that we have recognized, and Alan alluded to this just a little bit ago, as new folks, we've recognized that there is an opportunity here to really grow and connect, not just as a church at large on a Sunday, but as a faith family throughout the week, growing in community, growing on mission together. And so one of the things that we're looking at is in the coming weeks, we're going to be advertising life groups. And we've had some great conversations with many of you, and there's a lot of excitement about what that can look like. And this is going to be for all of us. This isn't just for new folks. This isn't just for folks who've been here a long time. This is for encounter folks. This is for retired. This is for married, single, young families, older families, a connecting point for all of us to grow as a faith family in homes throughout the week. And so we're going to be talking more about that in the coming weeks, of what those details will look like. But this is an opportunity for us to be growing, not only as we worship through the study of the word and through prayer, but also through eating together and living life together and just growing and connecting and loving one another as a connecting point in the church. So we're really excited about it. I think there's a lot of excitement from you guys as well. And so we'll be seeing how that goes.
Thank you, Patrick. I'm just going to pray for Patrick just now, and you are very welcome to kind of join me from your seats as well as we do that. So let's pray for Patrick. Father God, we just thank you for the opportunities that are here to develop discipleship and to develop places where people can connect and land in this church. And I thank you that you have brought Patrick and his family here, that that they are looking at this and are just bringing their experiences, bringing their gifts and skills as well, and wisdom and integrity into this too. I pray that you would bless him as he takes on this role in White Inch, that you would bless his family as well, and that you would just be with him, and that all that he does, that there would be favour over him, and that most importantly, that he would know your love as he is in this place and as he does this work. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Patrick. Okay, next we've got Stephen, who I'm going to invite up. Would you like to come up and we will hear from you? Sorry, I'm also keeping an eye on, I'm wondering how traumatised wee Jonah is, because I can see Ian up at the back there as well. I don't know if Ian's ready to come in. We've got a bit of a kind of swap of roles just now, so I think Shona's going to go and entertain the wee one. Sorry, Stephen. No, it's fine. I'm just going to get Ian just kind of at the back. So this is Stephen, who has taken up the role as our bookkeeper in White Inch. And the reason I was asking Ian to pop his head in is that Ian has stepped down from that role, and Stephen has stepped into that role. And before we hear from Stephen, I just want to publicly thank Ian for all that he's done. He took on a big job, and I'm sure Stephen's learning that as well, about what actually is involved in the bookkeeper job in our church. But on behalf of us all, I just want to say thank you, Ian, for all that you've done. And I wonder if you could show our appreciation to him just now. So So, yeah, Ian, thank you. We really do appreciate you, and we just want to bless you as you move on to what God's calling you into next. He's not going anywhere. We still get to hang on to him. But in terms of the bookkeeping role, it has been passed on to Stephen. And I'm just going to invite Stephen to introduce himself and just explain a little bit about what you're going to be doing in White Inch.
Okay. Hi, I'm Stephen. Obviously, I've taken over from Ian, and just it's still kind of transitional at the moment. I'm still sort of learning as we keep going. And hopefully within the next 3 to 4 weeks, it should all be back up and running the way it was before. And we'll see if we can make some changes as well to make it easier for everyone else.
I have nothing else to say apart from that shirt.
He's concerned about the shirt up there. Can I just pray for you briefly, Stephen? Thank you. Let's pray for Stephen just now. Father God, we thank you that you've brought Stephen to us. We thank you for the gifts and the skills that he has as well, and for the vision that he has for the job that he's going to do. And Lord, we realise that it's a big job, and we just pray that you will be with him and that you will bless him as he transitions into this role. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. And I'm going to ask Ian to come up. I think Alan McWilliam was responsible for the photograph, so everybody can go and pelt him later. It's nothing to do with me. So I'd like to introduce Ian. I'm going to pass the mic, and Ian's going to explain about his role and what he's going to be doing in White Inch.
Hiya, yeah, I'm Ian McFarlane, and apologies for the photograph. If you search my name in Google, the first match that comes up says, Ian McFarlane is a world-renowned master fiddler. Can I just put on record that that's not me? But I apologise for the photograph, that's my old corporate self, which is long gone. So anyway, I've been brought in by Alan and the team to almost build capacity, I suppose is the best way of describing it, around White Inch transformation, to... That could be human capacity, it could be resources, it could be estates, it could be increased financial capacity, it could really be anything, so that we can help take the hope, love and light of the kingdom out into the community, into the city, and indeed across this country. So doing that, and then also working with Pamela and others involved in the recovery community to take out, been asked by the city, formally requested by the city to define what spiritual-led, faith-based recovery means for the city of Glasgow. And that's opened up two interesting questions, because one of the first one being, what do we mean by recovery? And is that people purely recovering from substance abuse or addiction, right through to everyone's a little bit broken and everyone's in recovery from something? So that in itself has been a very interesting discussion. And we've also been asked initially to do ecumenically and indeed multi-faith, which has been interesting. And we'll be doing that, and we are doing that. But then clearly, like my own personal story, it was JC that saved me and brought me out of my dark addiction phase. So, yeah, we're doing that as well. So it's exciting, and it's a great team, and I'm just looking forward to getting on with it over the next 6 months or so.
Can I pray? Let's pray for Ian. Father, again, we just thank you for bringing Ian to us, and we thank you for his gifts and skills and talents, and for the vision that he has for the role that he has in this place. Father, we thank you too for the funding that's come in order to allow Ian to be able to do this, and we just we pray over it all, Father, that that you would just be opening up opportunities here for us as a church to move forwards. So would you be with him, Father? Would you bless him in Jesus' name? Amen. Thank you. Now, last but not least, one for the girls. I'm going to invite Claire Young up, and many of you will be going, why? Claire's not new, but there has been a change, a really, really exciting change to what Claire's doing, and I'm just going to let her explain it because she'll do a much better job.
I'm not new. I've been here 4 years. Recently, an opportunity has come up for me. And it's the end of one season and the beginning of another season, and that is that St. Paul's Primary School has decided to employ me to do family support work, but they have the way that they have done that is through funding that's come in, and there's funding called People Equity Fund. And the People Equity Fund is specifically targeted at areas of high deprivation, areas where children don't have the same opportunities because of the type of housing that they live in, because of the poverty that's around, because of the addiction, all sorts of things, and areas like White Inch. And schools have been allocated money to help raise attainment, to help those children succeed at school. And so with that funding, they knew that the funding that had come to an end with White Inch Transformation for Me had happened, and they said, actually, we would love to fund Claire to come and work with us and with our families. And so I now become an official employee of White Inch Transformation, which some of you know I wasn't an official employee, so that's quite a fun journey. So I have a full-time job and income coming in, and I will be based in St. Paul's Primary School. So it means that I won't be doing the work that I have been doing in terms of clubs and groups and things in the community with White Inch Transformation, although I hope some of those will continue. But I will be still working with some of the vulnerable families that I have been working with over the last little while, and also looking at engagement, helping families engage with school and engage with just the support that's available. They have already a family support worker, and she's doing a great job, and I'll be working alongside her. And it also means I get to stay in White Inch, and I'm free to continue to oversee the children's work here on a Sunday morning, which is great, because that's part of my calling is to teach children where you should go, because I love all the Revo kids at the back who are now waving at me. I'll still be around to support church families, but during the week I won't be available on my phone, and I won't be available on email, so that's sort of the practical kind of things. If you want to get hold of me, Claire at White Inch Church is .org is a better one. I've still got my same mobile number, so yeah, do feel free to text me. But during the day I'll be at work, like a real job and everything. And thank you for those of you who have prayed. A lot of you have been on this journey of transition. I know a lot of other people have also been in transition, so bless you, those of you who are still in that place. And I'm still sort of through that. And thank you for your prayers and your support, and praise God that I get to continue to be part of this church family and continue to use the skills and abilities he's given me in White Inch.
I think we also just want to say thank you to Claire for all that she has done for our church and for the community as well, more than any of us will ever know or imagine. I think in the background she has just been working away, really impacting on local families, and we're just really, really grateful to you for all of that. So could we again show our appreciation to Claire for that? And we don't lose her, we get to keep her, so that's good too. So let's pray for Claire just now. Father, we thank you for all that Claire has brought to this church and brought to this community, for the families that she has impacted, Father, for the people that she has impacted in her role. And Lord, we thank you that it is not the end, that it is just a change, and that there is a new season for her. We pray for St. Paul's Primary. We thank you for that opportunity. We thank you for the doors that have opened into that school. And we thank you for the partnership that is there. And we pray that you would bless that partnership, that you would bless Claire as she starts this new job, and that you would just give her all that she needs to do it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Is that me? I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you. And you know, the amazing thing, for various reasons, all of these guys coming on board and doing different things, but actually they're all of them coming on board are actually cost neutral to us as a church. In fact, it might be that they would get more money in, bizarrely, for anyway. So it was just kind of let you be aware of that as well. So I suppose what we wanted to kind of do by introducing all these different folks is we wanted to kind of sort of say we're working hard to try and address some of the gaps. So as we think about the transition of kind of moving from like a local church to a resource church, and you know, integration and sort of discipleship, and beginning to kind of feel that people kind of need to find places to belong, and wanting to make sure that as an organisation we actually kind of make an impact and have good organisational resources available for us and so on. And as we think about how we actually go beyond in terms of what Claire's doing, you know, taking what's already happening and taking it out into the wider community. As we think about all of those things, I hope that what you're hearing is that actually we've been thinking and praying about not just simply the kind of what's happened and the issues, but actually trying to address some of those issues. But probably for us as a leadership team, we actually kind of felt that probably the most significant gap that we could have, that we were aware of was really the kind of the gap around pastoral leadership for the church in White Inch on a long-term basis. Shona and I have kind of taken responsibility for that over the last, just now, up till now, and then Shona in this period. But what we recognized is actually probably the most important thing for us and the most significant thing for us is we actually just need some leader to actually kind of take responsibility and say, right, this is it, and I'm going to take responsibility to actually kind of lead in the church and to develop it, to have a real focus on the church congregation here in White Inch. And so we're really excited to be able to announce today that we are about to be able to appoint new congregational leaders, which are going to start on Easter Sunday, the 1st of April. And the folks that you already know, Stephen and Helen Anderson, have agreed to come back and to come on staff and to actually help and to lead the church and to be part of the church team. Now, Shona and I are not leaving. We're still going to be involved in sort of effectively becoming a senior staff team with Stephen and Helen. But they will start, and they're going to start as of, as I say, Easter Sunday, 1st of April. And they thought that they would like to send a message to us today as we end our Vision Sunday. So hopefully this will work.
Hi, I'm Stephen.
And I'm Helen.
And for those of you that don't know us, we led the church in Castlemilk. I was the pastor of the Baptist church there through the late 1980s and through 1999. After that, we ran Prayer for the City in Glasgow, which is where we first connected with White Inch Church. And then we ran Healing Rooms in Scotland for 10 years. And more recently, we've been leading a church in Bedfordshire, in England. However, God spoke to us very clearly in the autumn to return to the land of our birth, and so we're very excited to be coming back to Scotland, and we are really looking forward to rejoining with you good folks at White Inch. We'll be moving up beginning of March and joining you on the 1st of April.
We moved here to Biggleswade, having been part of the church at White Inch, and we're excited to be coming back to White Inch, our family church that actually sent us down here, and we're coming back for all the promises that God has promised for the nation of Scotland, because he said, now arise and return to the land of your birth. And our heart for Scotland has never left, even though we've been coming down here almost this time like missionaries to England, and they come back with excitement of what the Holy Spirit is going to do, and to dig the wells of the whole house of prayer. That's our heart, is prayer and worship to change the whole atmosphere for the nation of Scotland, to see signs, wonders and miracles. And we're coming back now for the promise of that, because I saw Jesus coming over the hills with his hands full of seeds, and he said, life awake, and he was touching the grass and touching the trees and he's touching everything. And it's time for Scotland to awake, and we're excited to be part of it, part of the vision that you have in White Inch that can come, and we can partner with you for the whole of White Inch, for the city of Glasgow, for the nation and for the nations. So we say hallelujah and we say thank you to White Inch that we're about to come. And as we arise, we come and we look forward to coming to you on Easter Sunday morning, the resurrection morning and the resurrection hope and life of all God is going to do in Scotland. Hallelujah.
So we're very excited to come and partner with you and building on the great vision you have for a house of prayer, for being a place of healing, equipping people for harvest, church planting, and just the wonderful growth of the kingdom of God. So we'll see you soon.
Bye.
So they're coming together, and they're actually going to be appointed as joint congregational leaders. So they want to do the job as two of them, but they're going to do the job together. I just think it's really funny if the difference in character between the two of them. It's like, you know, Stephen's like this, and Helen's like, woohoo! Yes, God's going to do this. And I actually think that's great. We appreciate both of them and what they're going to do. What we want to do just now is we're going to take a break to have a conversation. And so we're going to have a discussion time. And in the discussion time, round your tables, three questions. What are you most thankful for over the last year? What questions do you have about things that have been, how things have been done? And what issues do you want us to address as we move forward? So let's do that. We're going to have chat for about 5 minutes, and then we're going to take some feedback, okay? If we can have some music in the background, that would be great. Thank you. Okay. Okay, two more minutes. So if you want to kind of give, and think about what feedback you'd like to give, because we're going to ask. Okay, 2 more minutes and think about the feedback. Okay. Could you take the slider down? Thank you. Great. Well done. Thank you. Okay, we're going to take some feedback. There's more to say, so we're not going to spend all our time doing this. We will. We've got other bits of news to pass on, so we want to do that too. But we want to give people the opportunity just to kind of get some feedback for various reasons. There is no There's no roving mic, I'm afraid. So you're going to have to give your feedback really nice and loud so that actually, and Diane's taking some notes as well. So we'll just start. Let's start. We'll start at the back corner. What feedback does that table want to give? Anything in particular? Yeah, and again, you'll have to do it nice and loud so everyone can hear you. So if you stand up. Yep, and to a certain extent, I think that's partly what we're hoping might kind of be picked up to a bit, of, to a certain extent, with the life groups. So that will have part of that, won't it, Patrick? Yes. So Patrick's nodding. Yes. So there will be a bit of that that's to do with life groups, but it doesn't. There is still a gap, and I think that one of the reasons why we want to have congregational leaders with a pastoral responsibility is because we recognise that there's a gap. So actually, our hope is that as we see Helen and Stephen coming back in, they particularly will have a kind of an overview of all of that, so they'll be aware when folks go off into hospital, or they'll be aware when those kind of pastoral situations kick off and so on. So yes, absolutely, thank you, that's really helpful. This group here, what feedback do you want to give? Hi, Paul. Thank you. Great. The next table along. Oh, Dan. So it's really just to do with how do we make sure that we actually follow through on integrating people and kind of looking after them. So, yeah, we might see lots of people can, you know, making a decision, but we actually need to see them discipled and embedded in the church. Yeah? That's great. Okay. This group here, who's gonna speak for you? It's going to be clear. I can see it's going to be clear. Right, on you go, Claire. You've got two new people now that you can go and talk to about that. It's sort of like immediately, as soon as they come. Yeah, great. No, that's fantastic. Okay, so intergenerational stuff. That's great. Thank you. All right, thank you, Claire. Guys at the back, how did you get on? Right, Ian?
Yeah,
That's great. That's very helpful. Thank you. This table over here. Right, Alison. Anyone, anything from this table over here? You didn't talk. You sat on either sides and didn't talk to each other, didn't you? Right, okay. Okay, whatever. This table over here. I'll move on. I'm not saying that. That's good. Thanks, Grace. This table here. Thanks, Anne. I can give you the microphone. You're close enough.
Thanks. We were grateful, like everybody else, for the integration that we do have. We've got someone in our group who's really quite new to church and has just found a lot of love and acceptance. Another person said where they came from, it was a tradition that you had to bake scones, or it was a kind of women's institute mentality in church. And if you weren't in that mold, you just didn't fit anywhere. But that person's gifting is showing the love of God and telling people, evangelism type ministry. And so here we have everything. If you can bake, great. You know, whatever your gifts are, they're accommodated. And whatever your faults are, they're also accommodated. There's grace and there's mercy. And I've particularly experienced that, so I'm sorry for all my faults. But thank you for your grace and your mercy. I mean that with all my heart. The issues that we would have seen, we didn't really go into it very much because, you know, we're aware that it's being addressed, but we did see integration, pastoral care. The way forward, we were just thanking God for the fact that Helen and Stephen are coming, and we see that as a real answer. Because I know personally what they carry, and so does one other member of the team. Three people in the team aren't quite as sure, haven't really known them as much, but can see from what they do know or what they've seen in the video that it's going to be awesome. So things are being addressed. Thank you.
Yep, this table here.
Yeah, so there's been a lot of carryover from things already mentioned. One thing particular that we've talked about here, there's several new folks here, and just the overwhelming thankfulness for God's love demonstrated through his people and relationships. And so that's just a really amazing aspect of this faith family here. I did want to say one more thing about life groups. If your interest is piqued about being a part of the development of those, or you have more questions about any of that process, come talk to me. There's still time. To be involved in that process. So I want to make sure that invitation is out there.
Oh. Why not? She's coming with a baby.
I'm not used to holding little girls. It's quite nice. I was with all the leadership, so I thought I would say that I was very thankful for just how the leadership team have navigated different challenges with grace and with love, and actually so much that's gone on behind the scenes that has led to many of the decisions and kind of some of the information that we've got through today. So that was what I was thankful for, and they kind of just listened. And communication, yeah. I think there's lots of things that many of us would love to go to and prioritise, and it's always been a challenge the bigger we get, and how to make sure that we're kind of kept in the loop so that things that are important to us, whether you work shifts or whether you've got families or whether you just need to kind of have a bit of planning in advance, would be is always an ongoing thing. So I'm just aware that I think this is probably your bit to say. Just there's lots of little jobs that many of us do, and there's lots of gaps, and here's Ali to explain that.
I think just in conversations, it just feels like a lot of us are tired and weary and burnt out and getting close to the end of ourselves. And for us, I think one of the challenges that we need to do is address that, and how do we actually look after the health of the church. And I think some of the things that are happening over the next wee while will deal with that. Stephen and Helen will make a big difference to coming in and doing that, but it's definitely an issue that we can see.
Yeah, and I think the thing that we want to sort of say about that is, you know, it's important that that we can say no without feeling any kind of sense of guilt. You know, it's absolutely fine. If you are not supposed to do something, it's fine. Don't do it. You know, just say no. It's not a problem at all. But it would also help if there are some people who would be willing to say yes as well. That would help. Okay, we're going to just run through the last few things I want to kind of say, just which are more kind of future-focused and kind of just giving you some more information about some things that are coming up. And I'll just do them quite quickly. So the first one is this particular picture was sent, or maybe it was in a Facebook post or something like that. I really like the picture. I'll let you have a look at it and see what it is. Our job, one of the most strong callings, the strongest callings on us as a church is to pioneer new pathways for people in Scotland. But it can feel like that. It feels like you're kind of like, oh, just dragging this thing to cry. And effectively, you're creating something which isn't there at the moment. And we're just, in many ways, we're really grateful for that opportunity. We're grateful for the opportunity that brings in terms of the opportunity in Rockaise. We're the first Church of Scotland that has been given permission to send and to work on a replant in any other congregation in the whole of the denomination. You know, nobody else has done that. We're the first church that's going to move into what I'll describe as hub churches. I'll explain what that is. But being a hub church in terms of actually having multiple congregations which are about replanting. The whole thing of actually adding the sort of staff team in, you know, having congregational leaders in each of the different places. Again, you know, that's something which is new and which actually we're pioneering for the church and the Church of Scotland in particular. And I think that's something that we are aware of and we're privileged to do, but we're conscious of the fact that actually it's something that we need to choose to press into, and so that's what we're doing. A bit of an update on Rockaise. So the next one down. Oh, it's there already. You've anticipated my every move. Well done. Where are we now? Well, we are developing a team. So there's a few folks that have come from here, a few folks that have come from other places, and a few folks that have come from Rockaise. There's probably about sort of 20, 25 people that have been involved. Some of them will kind of continue to be very involved and very local. We've had two of the first people who are actually moving into Rockaise have actually done so over the kind of Christmas and New Year holidays. So they have now actually moved into the parish, part of the new team. The intention is that we'll actually see more folks like that actually kind of moving in and staying and being part of that. We'll have other people who will kind of like stay where they are, but actually kind of circulate and help within the kind of the church. And then we've actually already identified significant numbers of Christians within the area who are beginning to kind of sort of say, if there's going to be something new and white in Rockaise, then we'll be willing to get involved in that. So our aim really over the kind of the team, over the year, is actually to establish a team that are really committed to starting a new worshipping community in Rockaise. And part of that will also be to establish a team leader. Our intention, in the same way that we're appointing congregational leaders here in White Inch, is that we will also do so in Rockaise and anywhere else that we plan to go. In terms of what we're doing at the moment, the team are working away at a mission audit, which basically is about listening to the community, working out what's going on. The next phase will be around kind of, I suppose, dealing with the spiritual heritage of the place. So it's a lot around prayer walking and investing more time just sort of praying into some of the stuff that's already been there and asking God to kind of help us as we move forward. There'll be some things around community meals, other stuff around outreaches, like sort of the source outreaches and so on. We hope to do that. We'll be doing, and our hope would be that we would also sort of see some summer youth work happening. So it might be that this summer, we might actually be looking for people from White Inch to go and to help to run effectively a kind of week-long mission, like a kind of a week-long Bible mission thing. Don't know what it's going to be, but it's going to be something, and it'll be during the summer. So the intention is to continue to ask people to kind of rotate in and out, to come and help, you know, where we can. We're not looking for everyone to go across at all the time, but we are certainly looking for more involvement in that. So that's Rakesi. In terms of White Inch Transformation, you've already heard that Ian's kind of come on board as our kind of operations development manager, really to help us to build capacity. And the interesting thing is that what we've recognized, if you kind of flick this sort of, press the button, we recognize that actually there's a need for us to transition from just being focused in White Inch to actually being focused beyond. We run Forge under the White Inch banner, and so our constitution actually sort of says, you know, in White Inch and within its environs, and I kind of ran a course for Forge in Belgium, and I think that Belgium really is stretching the kind of the environs of White Inch kind of quite far. So we may well this year actually be looking at rebranding, thinking about how we actually do things, changing our constitution a bit, kind of moving things around to allow us to be able to do that. But probably the other thing that's important to hear is this, that there's actually been quite a number of churches who are organizations or people who are wanting to do mission projects who are basically sort of saying, I would be able to do this if I had a bit of support, maybe with how we run our finances or how we do sort of safeguarding or how we actually kind of do the constitutional governmental sort of parts of, you know, work. And actually what we're looking at is we're sort of saying White Inch Transformation has always been like a bit like an incubator where we basically saw things sort of started and then, you know, we'll float off into kind of new work. And our hope is that we'll be able to do that. But if we're going to do that, then we actually need to work quite hard at actually increasing our organizational capacity. Again, that's the big thing that Ian's really kind of focused on. So you may see a wee bit of change around the White Inch Transformation thing. It's not because we've lost focus in White Inch. It's just that we're actually recognizing the reality of the fact that we're doing other things in other places. The next thing is about Hub Church, and that is to say that we started with Rakesi. So White Inch and Rakesi are actually working together and will continue to do that. But we also are aware of conversations with the presbytery about a number of other congregations that they would be interested in us actually kind of doing the same thing with. So over the next 5 years, say, our hope would be to talk to them about, okay, what about the next one? And what about the next one beyond that? We're not at that stage yet, but we want to at least put that on the agenda and begin to, if you like, make sure that we are ready for what is coming and make sure that we're actually prepared for what's ahead of us. And effectively what will happen is, as a resource church, as a hub church, we will be looking at working with a network of churches to develop what's going on. And part of that is through the Cairn organization. So Cairn, you already will be aware of, is a relational network of churches. There's a big set of churches in Edinburgh working together. We're now working with a bunch of folks in Glasgow. I'm also involved in working with people in Belfast, in Dundee, Inverness, and Aberdeen. And essentially what they're looking at are, it used to be that the denominations were really good at kind of pushing forward and, you know, helping things to happen. And increasingly what they're doing is they're managing decline. And what we've recognized is that there's a need for relational networks across the denominations to begin to say, how can we work together to resource mission and discipleship within the city of Glasgow together? How can we do that in Edinburgh together? How can we do that in Dundee together? How can we do that, et cetera, et cetera? And so we're part of that organization, and I play a quite sort of leading role in terms of the kind of the pioneering, the kind of church planting element of that. But we recognize that actually, you know, there's more of that will come, and there's more of that will kind of happen over the next wee while. And it's important for us to be aware of that. And all of it's going to be tied back to us in White Inch as a resource base, particularly for Glasgow. And then the last thing that I wanted to kind of highlight is another possible partnership, which will be around the work with Iris Ministries. Many of you know the work that goes on with Roland and Heidi and Roland Baker, who are based out in Mozambique, and doing amazing work. But actually, they lead a mission organization that is now involved in sending missionaries out into, you know, just all sorts of places all over the world. And one of the things that we're really interested in is a conversation about the possibility of partnering with them to become an IRIS resource base or a mission base here in Scotland, both and also potentially to allow us to be able to run the Harvest School, which is their kind of training mechanism, both because it allows us to be able to mobilise people from the nations to come to this nation and to mobilise people within this nation to go to the nations. And so it's a mobilisation piece that we believe that we'll be involved in as well. And part of that will be because of our connections over the years with the folks in the IRIS, we're looking at the possibilities of what that could be over this year and over the next 2 or 3 years as well. So we are where we are. We've got to where we've got to. We can see lots of change. You can see that we're trying to kind of, I hope that you can see that we're trying to address some of the kind of the tensions, weaknesses, the frailties that we've already recognised. We know that they're there. We're trying to work on all of those things, but there's a long way to go, and there are great opportunities to happen. And I suppose all I wanted to do as we kind of finish our time is just to stop at the end and actually just to, in your tables, just would you take some time just to pray? If you're happy to do that, that's fine. If you're not, then just put your head down. No one will bother you. But we'd just love to finish our time in terms of Vision Sunday. As we thought about all these different things, just praying, committing our way to the Lord again and asking him to bless what we're going to do. So if you're willing to do that, let's do that just for the last wee part, and then I'll finish in a minute. loving Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that you are the one who has called us to walk with you. We thank you so much for the love that you have poured out into our hearts and lives. And it's because of your love that we are willing to pour out love to others. It's because what you have done first. And so, Lord God, we want to pray that today, as we think and as we pray and as we move forward together into this new year, we want to ask, Lord God, that first and foremost, we would do so out of the overflow of your love, that we would know that what it is to be adopted into your family, the child of God. We would know what it is for us to draw all of our strength from that place, to know what our purpose and the plan that you have for our life is as a result of flowing from that place. And Lord, let everything else just fall away. Everything which is not from you and everything that is just stuff that's in our heads, Lord, we want to pray that you just let it fall away. But we want to pray that the things which are of eternity, the things which you're speaking to us today, the things which resonate in our spirit and which cause us to say yes, Lord. Lord, we want to say yes to them and we want to say yes to you. Lord, we are nothing without you. We are broken people. We are incomplete. We are frail and foolish. And we do not have what is required to be able to do what is ahead of us. We know that that's true. But Lord God, you say that it is in our weakness that your strength is made perfect. You say, you know, as you said to the little boy with his fish that fed 5,000, you said, just give me what you have. And so, Lord God, even in the midst of feeling just, you know, as we do, we ask, Lord God, that you would take what we have. We offer it to you again, freely, willingly. We offer it to you and we ask, Lord God, would you take what we have, who we are, what we're about, everything that we have. We willingly give it to you. We willingly offer it to you, knowing that you can do far more than we can ever ask or imagine. And so, Lord God, we pray that you would lead us forward into all that you want to do. All that you're looking for today is for us to say yes to you. Once more, to say yes. Yes, God, I will follow you. I will do what you tell me to do. I will. And so, Lord God, as much as we can and as far as we know ourselves, we offer our yes to you today, together as a fellowship. And we say, Lord, take us and use us. We commit ourselves into your hand in this year to come. And we ask, Lord God, that you would receive all the glory, all the honor, all the praise for all that happens amongst us this year. For you alone are worthy. So, Lord God, we commit ourselves now back into your hands and ask that you bless us as we follow you faithfully. For we ask this now, in Jesus' name. And now may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and all those that you love, now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you so much for being here, participating today. We really appreciate that. We would really like feedback. We really, really would like feedback. We recognize only a few folks got to do some feedback. If you have anything in particular you'd like to come and ask, if you've got questions you'd like to ask, you feedback to give, if you just have a kind of thought where you kind of think, I have an idea, this might work, come and talk to us, okay? Because we'd love to do that. Other than that, that's us done. Have a great week this week. And every blessing. Thank you so much.
than dead, but your love came to find me. Jesus, you are the one.